Local Focus.
Hello there to you. It's Troy Stockton aboard. Yes, here we have another Rural Focus podcast for you. What a jam-packed show we've got for you today. Coming your way, no Kelly from The Countryman. No, she's having a few days R&R. Lucky for some. So Adam Paulson, we're going to catch up with Adam from The Countryman very soon this morning. Also too, what will happen to the $136 million live sheep export industry? Of course, they're pleading for its life after Federal Labor got in after the election, and of course Federal Labor looking to phase out the live sheep trade. Somebody who thinks they might be able to change Federal Labor's mind is the big boss at the Australian Livestock Exporters Council, Mark Harvey Sutton. Mark's going to join us on the podcast very soon. And also coming up on the podcast, here in WA, the Katanning Sheep Sale was on the other day from Nutrient. We will be catching up with Mark Warren. But right now, with seeding just about finished here in regional WA, we thought we'd catch up with, one of the agronomists from Elders. His name is Tristan Clark. I'm going to speak today to Tristan about emergent control options in wheat. Tristan, hello there to you.
Hey, good morning, Troy. How are you going?
Not bad. How's things out your way, mate?
Yeah, looking pretty good after some good falls in the last couple of days around the district. About 10 to 15 mils has fallen, so just in time for majority. It's been nice.
I'm going to say the farmers will be happy with that.
Very happy, yes. Things are looking good and another good start. After a few dry weeks, it's been nice to finish off the program into a good profile of moisture.
Have farmers out that way, mate, have they finished seeding or just about to, or where are they about?
Yeah, a couple are starting to finish. I think the majority will probably be done within the next 7 days, which is where we're at.
Now, mate, also, I wanted to speak to you today, early post-emergent control options in wheat.
Yes, yeah. So we've been lucky up here, and majority of the state in the last couple of years had a good opportunity for the knockdowns, has really probably taken the pressure off the requirement for our early post control options. But I thought it's still worthwhile touching on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, as the wheat, you know, is coming out of the ground pretty quickly, we're going to be looking at coming back over the top very soon with a few different options. But the main one that I probably wanted to talk about is a new one to the market this year, Matina Complete. I'm sure every farmer in the state would have heard of it by now.
So. That's the one from Bayer, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, that's it. Registered pre-wheat as well, but its main fit, in my opinion, is in the post-emergent or early post-emergent space with a good pre-emergent up in front, but to give you that extended residual control, but also some radish or broadleaf weed control by applying it in an early post-emergent use pattern. So, yeah, it's probably been one that most farmers will have a crack at up here this year.
Okay.
See how we go.
Is there another one that they might be using, mate? Or
in a sort of salvage situation, if your pre-ems haven't worked maybe quite as well as you'd liked, for sulfur carbon box of gold are the two probably go-tos that most people use in that scenario for grasses, and occasionally tank mix with other products to get that broader spectrum of weed control. Looking at the next couple of weeks as the wheat sort of gets to that three-leaf stage where we would be looking at recommending that, and the sort of second flush of ryegrass might be coming through, is when we might look at using that, or growers might consider that option, I guess.
I'm sure farmers have been talking to you about those options.
Yes, no, they have had a few conversations and maybe discussing where we can fit in like tank mix partners to, save a path. Really?
Behind it. If the farmers out that way haven't got in contact with you yet, mate, as you say, I'm sure that they will very soon, and I'm sure that you'll be out and about catching up with some farmers out that way.
Definitely. No, always happy to talk, and come and have a look at paddocks. So, get in contact if you need.
I reckon they're looking greener day by day, mate.
Definitely. So, it's good to see them, all the crops bounding away so fast out of the ground. It really is. After a couple of dry years a few years ago, it's nice to have two wet ones in a row to start.
Certainly is. Anything else before I do let you get on out and about, mate?
Just wish everyone a good season for the rest of it, and hopefully it goes well.
Tristan Clark from Elders Del Wallonu. Mate, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
The following interview on the Rural Focus podcast is a paid interview. A reminder, this may not be the right product for you, and other goods and services may be available.
That time of the morning on Rural Focus to catch up with Mark Warren from Nutrient. We'll find out and see how yesterday's Katanning Sheep Sale went. Morning, mate.
Yeah, morning, Troy. Morning, listeners.
How did things go there yesterday?
Yeah, pretty quiet day yesterday. Troy, a total of 5,495 yarded, so we're up about 1,084 on the week before. Yeah, look, the yarding overall was pretty light in condition. A lot of very small store lambs, which prove a bit hard to sell this time of year. But yeah, it's a pretty hard market to quote on, to be honest, because there just really wasn't a lot of, you know, killing trade sheep. So we're basically just really quoting on store sheep, to be honest. But look, the odd pen of heavy, well, not heavy lambs, but better trade lambs basically sold from 155 to 165. Better air freight to light trade lambs. Yeah, look, they're a bit all over the shop, but basically sold from 115 to 135 to $40, depending on weight. Your better lighter stores are down 5 to 10, as I said, which made up majority of the yarding. They sold from 70 to 80. Heavy mutton, yeah, just a very odd pen of heavy mutton. Most of them are boning ewes, but the odd pen sold from 140 to 150. Better trade mutton sold from 125 to 135. Better boning ewes sold from 95 to 110. Very light and plain boning ewes basically sold from 50 to 60, depending on conditions. So, that, as I said, a lot of light boning ewes were yarded. Merino weather lambs slash hoggets. So the better hoggets sold from 130 to 140. Majority of the very light and plain store lambs, which merinos showed very light condition. Basically, a lot of sheep sold from 50 to 70, so they were a bit hard going, but they weren't overly flash either. But merino ewe hoggets sold from 135 to 145 for your better killing hoggets. Better store merino ewe lambs basically sold from 40 to 70, depending on size and condition. Just the odd pen of rams. Better rams sold from 60 to 70, with majority making from 40 to 50. The ram lambs, odd pen of ram lambs sold from 120 to 130, with better stores at 60 to 80. So, yeah, as I said, Troy, pretty hard market to quote on, because really most of the yarding were stores. So, but overall, look, the market outside the trade sales, as I said before, is very, very strong. Still a bit slow going with the abattoirs and stuff. But, yeah, look, overall, the market's very, very strong, and just probably not reflective in the trade sale at the minute. But yeah, the season's ticking along beautifully, and nice rains everywhere. So it'll be a bit quiet for a while now, so which is good.
Another sale there again next week, mate?
Yeah, Troy. Yep, another one next week. So so we'll, as I said, we'll probably get another quiet one. We'll have a few quiet sales for the next couple of months, I would have thought, from now on, as long as it keeps raining, so which would be good.
Mate, as always, thanks for your time this morning. We'll chat to you again next week.
Thanks, Troy.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
Well, as we know, Federal Labor planning on banning WA live sheep trade, the $136 million export industry. Well, they're pleading for its life, and, well, one man who thinks his group might be able to change the Federal Labor's mind is from the Australian Livestock Exporters Council. The big boss, Mark Harvey-Sutton, does join us. Mark, good morning there to you. Do you think you can change the federal government's mind here?
Oh, morning, Troy. Well, I guess the thing is, we've had a commitment, no matter who formed government, that we would work with them. And if you look at the performance of the industry, and that's the animal welfare performance I'm talking about there, if you look at how well that's gone, particularly over the last 3 years since Labor last took this policy to an election, it's been outstanding. So we've made a lot of commentary on this issue around the fact that it's unnecessary. And I think if you look at other facets, such as the fact it's a very important trading commodity with geopolitical partners in the Middle East, the fact that it's so important to producers in WA, and the fact that the possibility of transitioning to a sheep being processed in the WA entirely, all those things are pretty hard to do. And I think, you know, there's an opportunity for us there to explain those things to the new agriculture minister.
Certainly is. We're not too sure who that agriculture minister is just yet, but I'm sure that we'll find out very soon. Plenty of Western Australian farmers stand to lose, well, hundreds of thousands of dollars here.
You know, I think it's important to note too that Premier McGowan's recognised this. He came out during the campaign period and acknowledged the good performance of the industry and pointed that there are sufficient measures in place and that it's an unnecessary policy. And he's saying that because he actually recognises that it's actually a pretty important trade. And you're exactly right about the potential loss to producers here and exporters as well, I might add. It's a very concerning precedent that this policy can set as well, because I guess the signal it sends that if you, you know, perform very well and you do everything that's asked of you, if not more, you can still be shut down on a whim. And that's concerning for any industry, I would have thought.
What were your thoughts when you first heard this was probably going to happen?
Oh, look, we We knew that Labor still maintained this policy. We weren't sure exactly how it would come to the fore, I suppose, during the campaign period, or if it would. Unfortunately, an activist group called the Animals Alliance took it upon themselves to announce Labor's policy, which I find pretty disappointing, because we hadn't been spoken to or had it confirmed how it all transpire at that point, nor had any of the producer group. So that's pretty disappointing. So you mentioned before waiting to hear who the next agriculture minister will be. Well, all I ask of them is, well, you've got to talk to industry. I mean, it's a very important industry, agriculture. We're part of that. You need to talk to us.
Yeah, it's a major industry that does affect a lot of people. Do you fear here, Mark, that if this does get banned, then live cattle exports are next on the list?
Oh, well, Labor have made it pretty clear they don't want to touch cattle.
Okay.
And we welcome that because it is a very important industry. And so, you know, we're pleased with saying that. But what worries me, though, I suppose, is there's a bit of dichotomy in their argument there because, you know, they've been saying that the sheep industry is a declining industry. And we all know that volumes can change due to various things. It can be seasonal conditions, demand. Sorry, not demand, domestic prices.
Yep.
What hasn't changed is international demand, and that's the case for cattle, sheep, but volumes across the board are down at the moment. So if you're using those justifications, well, it doesn't set a very good precedent, does it?
No, it certainly doesn't. So, have you heard from many a WA farmer?
Oh, we've been talking to the two main producer groups pretty prominently, so WA Farmers and the Pastoralists and Graziers Associations, and we've been making an effort to talk to them and make sure that they understand that, you know, there is an opportunity here to still engage, and most of them are very understanding of that, so that's very pleasing. And I guess the thing to remember in all of this is we are actually in it together.
Mm.
We've been making that very clear to them as well.
Well, mate, good luck. Yeah, I think a lot of WA farmers are right behind you. Hopefully you can change the Federal Agricultural Minister's mind, whoever that could be, with this going forward. We'll keep a close eye on this and see how things are going with you, mate.
No, good on you, Troy. It does make it a bit easier when you're arguing as fact.
Exactly.
And that's what we'll be doing.
Yep.
So that gives me some confidence there.
Certainly. Australian Livestock Exporters Council Chief Executive Mark Harvey Sutton. Mark, thanks for your time this morning.
No, pleasure, Troy. Thanks very much.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
Thursday in the factory, which means the Countryman is out today. Kelly's taking a little bit of time off, so Adam stepped in this morning. Mate, good morning there to you.
How you going, Troy?
Not bad. Having a look through this morning's paper, mate, a little bit on, well, the federal election.
Little bit or a lot. lots of federal election coverage, as you might expect, and all of it, of course, is concerned with how Labor's win will affect agriculture. So for one, we have an extensive write-up from the boss, Kelly Jupe, exploring the key priorities for agriculture as identified by various industry leaders from across the sector. Some of those priorities that they want the new government to address include biosecurity, labour shortages, and resetting the damaged trade relationship with China.
And also see in today's paper, mate, speculation on who might be the new federal agricultural minister.
Yeah, so we still don't know who the next federal agriculture minister will be. We're going to have to wait almost another week to find out. Meanwhile, of course, rumours circulating as to who will take on the portfolio. So we take a bit of a look at who some of the contenders are that are being thrown about. We also have an exclusive interview with the ousted Agriculture Minister, David Littleproud, who has retained his seat, but has, of course, lost his cabinet portfolio. Mr. Littleproud has actually offered to share his knowledge with the next ag minister for the betterment of the industry. So that's nice to see.
Certainly is. So, yeah, no, we'll wait and see on who will become the new federal agriculture minister. Mate, something closer to home. You've got a story in today's paper on a farming family in Beverley.
Yeah, so for everyone who's a bit sick of all the politics, including myself, we've got plenty of other stories. So, the boss has caught up with the Ridgeway family out in Beverley, just to see how the season's going for them. And it looks like, for them at least, the seeding season is being buoyed by gentle rain and sunny skies, which is nice. So they're hoping for a much, much more normal year after copping waterlogging last year, which ate into their into the yields of their harvest a bit. So yeah, not a few nice positive distractions in there from all the pandemonium happening elsewhere in the world.
Yeah, it certainly is. So there you go. You can read all those stories and more in today's Countryman. As always, Ads, thanks for your time today, mate. Have a great week.
No worries. Thanks, Troy.
Well, there you have it. Another Rural Focus podcast here on the Listener app. Hey, thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, too, if you maybe missed a show somewhere along the line, you can catch up on other shows here on the Listener app as well. Nice that you're choosing us, and hopefully you're learning a little bit as we all go along. Where are you listening to us from? Love to hear from you. Jump onto the Rural Focus Facebook page today and let us know whereabouts around Australia or maybe somewhere internationally. Where are you listening to the Rural Focus podcast? I've been Troy Stockton, and I look forward to bringing you another podcast again very soon.